Kate Chern's been in the studio. It must seem like you've been in here for hours, Kate. All the other stuff that we've had to do. How are you? Thanks for coming in.
I'm well, Kevin. How are you?
Good, good, good. You're looking tanned and fit, and you go back training last night, you tell me.
Yeah, back on the park last night after probably about a 10-day layoff, which was probably needed for all the girls.
Yeah. Is that a longer layoff than I would have expected? I would have expected you to have a shorter layoff than that, to be honest, given the season starts on the 3rd of Feb.
Yeah, I think the layoff was, I would have probably preferred a shorter layoff just so we could do a little bit more in this shorter pre-season. Yep. But it is what it is. It's probably part of the contract. I don't really know, but the holiday was refreshing and I got my tan up and we managed to do some fitness along the way.
Did you, obviously, you haven't come back and need, your skin folds are terrific, obviously, and all those things are being checked. So no one lets themselves go anymore, no matter what sport it is, really, do they?
No, we were talking at the club last night and a lot of the girls were saying this New Year's Eve was a hell of a lot different to the previous New Year's Eves because none of us were playing elite football at that point.
Yep.
So, you know, there was probably not the champagne at midnight. Oh, I know from my point of view, I was in bed by 10:30.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Okay. So how much did you do yourself? And did you do it just on your own in the break?
I was training every day, whether it be on the park or in the gym. Yeah. I actually was lucky enough to spend some time with Luke Power, who's the former Brisbane Lions premiership player.
Yep.
He's now been appointed as the AIS head coach. And we holiday down at Sorrento together nearly every year. And as kids, we grew up kicking the footy down the park. And he obviously knows I'm playing for Collingwood and said, let's get back to it.
Okay.
So I went down there with him and one of his AIS boys, and then Adam Tomlinson from the GWS came down. So it was great to be amongst the boys and get out there. And I was thinking at one point, wow, how lucky am I to be able to train with AFL players?
Yep.
And then I thought, I wonder what they if they think this is weird. Like, there's a girl out there now.
No, what sort of has been the reaction?
Really positive.
Yep.
We went to a cafe the other day, and I was with Dad and a few family members, and we met Mark McClure. And, you know,
Sellers.
Yeah.
What a good bloke.
And he's a, you know, I've known him for a long time.
Yep.
And the first thing he says to me with a big smile on his face, which is not exactly like Sellers, is how's the footy going? And seemed really interested in it.
He was feigning it. You're playing for Collingwood, remember?
No, I think he's genuinely pleased.
You know, I'm sure he is.
And he thinks the girls are doing a terrific job, which is, it's really nice and encouraging for us all.
3rd of Feb. I mean, that's day after tomorrow almost. Do you know what I mean? When you actually put the jumper on and run out and play. Are you ready?
Oh, I think we're really keen on having that extra 3 weeks just to familiarise ourselves with the game plan and the personnel. I wish there was a little more time. I feel like, you know, if the preseason had been a little bit longer, it would have given everyone a better opportunity to get to know each other more. I mean, it's going great, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it just seems so quick. I feel like we're already back, and I think because everyone's so excited, time flies.
It certainly does. Now, 94291116. If you want to ask Kate a question, by all means, about anything to do with the AFL women's competition, which starts in a couple of weeks' time, by all means, jump on the phone 94291116, or text through a question if you've got 0433981116. What's your background in terms of, tell people where you came from to get to this point where you're going to be running around for Collingwood?
Grew up playing footy.
Yep.
And like many of the other females involved in the competition, had to stop playing with the boys when I was 13. And
do you spit chips when that happened? Were you filthy on that?
Yeah, I was really filthy because at the time, girls typically mature physically earlier than boys.
Correct.
So the physical nature of it wasn't the issue. And I never felt inadequate with the boys. I always felt like I could hold my own. And we won the grand final in 1995.
Okay.
Feels like forever. And yeah, I was told I couldn't play anymore. And I was deeply shattered because this is what I was really good at. I was more naturally better at footy than I was really anything else.
At traditional, let's say, girl sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't grow up playing netball. I was a basketballer and a footballer and played a little bit of tennis, but not to the extent of what the elite juniors are doing these days. And then I had to find a second sport after that because the pathway wasn't there. Not like it is now.
Yep. Yep. 12, and 12's very young to be sort of almost told, well, that's the end of that chapter in your life, move on to the next one.
Yeah, well, at 12,
that's ridiculous.
You don't really know what you want in life. You just do what you enjoy.
Yep.
And I loved footy. And I went to the footy every week with my dad. Often we'd be watching.
We should point out dad being Mike.
Yeah. Yes. I know. I actually probably should clarify that. I say that very often and people are like, well, who's your dad?
How's the Godfather tag sitting with him?
It was funny down at Sorrento. A lot of people are like, the Godfather? Are you serious? You're like a marshmallow. I said, you better take some scalps over summer, Dad.
He needs to harden up and get some dark windows on the outside of his
The older he gets,
something.
The more mellow he gets.
Yeah,
so
no, exactly.
I'm not sure the tag fits, really.
No, though I'm sure when he gets in interview mode, he's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, you can see the light switch on when something serious comes up. He's a different person.
Now, a lot of people don't talk about your dad's footy prowess, and your dad doesn't talk about his footy prowess, but because of my relationship with the Werribee Football Club, I know a fair bit about your dad's, and he was a very good player in his day down at VFA level in the old Werribee side.
That's what he tells us.
No, but, he was.
Watching him in the street down at Sorrento over the holidays, I'm not sure that's the case.
Give him a break. That was 1965.
He gets on my back. He's like, come on, run harder. And what'd you drop that mark for? And I'm like, hang on a minute. You can't even mark it.
Are you a left footer?
No, I'm a right footer. But Dad's a left footer.
Yeah, he was a left footer. Yeah, he was a very good left foot kick too, from all reports.
No, Dad was a good footballer. But back then, he had to make a choice.
Yep.
Am I going to have a career in journalism, or am I going to be a footballer that's never possibly going to be at that elite level?
Yep.
And well, looking back, he made the right choice, I think
he did. He's had a fairly reasonable career in the old journalism stakes. And, of course, he's part of our breakfast show here that's starting in a couple of weeks' time. So
yeah, looking forward to it.
What sort of advice has he given you about your sport over the years?
I think with the difference between the tennis and the footy was he believed that I was good at footy.
Mm.
He knew I was good at footy, so he never really had to say too much. Whereas when I was playing tennis, I didn't believe in myself. And he could see that. So he would, you know, say things and more often than not would clash.
Mm.
But with the footy, you know, starting back up, he's more just making sure I'm on top of things and, you know, gets a little worried. Are you doing the running? And are you doing everything that the other girls are doing? And I'm like, cool your jets, Dad. It's going to be okay, you know.
Yeah, relax.
A lot of AFL players have said to me, not a lot, two former AFL players have said to me, you know, you don't need to smash day one of pre-season. It's more being ready for the first round. And that's the approach I've taken. I haven't wanted to push myself too hard because I'm a bit older.
Yep.
And I'm not as, durable as what some of these younger girls are. So I have to be smarter about how I do things.
Yep. And that's when the smarts does kick in. How much do you want, how bad do you want this?
I want this more than anyone else wants it. And I know everyone will say that, but I genuinely do. When we'd be down at Sorrento kicking the footy with the Power Boys, we all had the same dream. The difference was they could achieve this.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. So I had to turn my energy and channel my energy into something different, but it was never the same love. It was never the same. I'd watch a game on Saturday night, record it, and watch it again on a Sunday. As a little girl, I mean, who does that?
Yeah.
That's obsession. That's passion. And that's how I feel about footy. I just love it.
Yep. Your passion's obviously the same. How have you found the physical demands of where the game's at the moment?
Yeah, it's a big running game. And I think we'll see a lot of that. Having 16 aside,
a lot of open space. Nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide.
I know, that's a problem. No, there'll be less contested footy and more running footy.
It'll be good to watch.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the product that we're going to produce and the skill set that we've got because all the girls have been terrific. All the girls at Collingwood, they're awesome skills. I was quite surprised, actually, when I got down there. I was thinking, wow, these girls are great.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, come back more with Kate Sheehan in the studio with me from the Collingwood women's football team. And, of course, they kick off the season against Carlton on Friday, February the 4th. Sorry, Friday, February the 3rd. That's right, I got that right? Yeah, 3rd. At Olympic Park. Night game on the Friday night, which will be on Channel 7. And the man who is sitting in that chair you're in now, Jason Bett, will be calling that on Channel 7 on the telly as well.
Yeah, it's going to be everywhere.
It is exciting, isn't it? And, of course, on 11:16 SEN.
How can we be wrong? Sail away with me to another world and
Dolly Parton. Oh, dear me. What's scaring me more about these the music that we're playing on that our panel man A-Rod's picking is that I know them all. That's scaring me more than the fact that we're playing them is that I actually know them. It's 27 past 3 here on 1116 SE, and Kate Sheehan's in the studio with me. Happy to take your calls, 9429 1116 or 0433 98 1116. Mark Allen says, great listening, guys. Enjoying. Go Pies.
Thanks, Marco.
Of course, Marco would say, go Pies. 27 past 3, let's get a check-in on the cricket.
An Australia-Pakistan Test cricket update.
Smokey, what's happening?
The impetuosity of youth. I didn't realise you were that young. Now I suggested to Lukey that you get me on before the next break so that I can give you a tea wrap, but they're going along nicely.
Tea's not for 10 minutes, isn't it?
12, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you can come back and talk me again. 1488 is the latest at the Sydney Cricket Ground, Khawaja 23. Steve Smith is on 4 and he just nicked one back into his wherever and he was struggling a bit there, but Wahab Riaz came up and said, you'll be right, son. Count them in the morning. And it's 1 for 88. The lead, 311. 9 wickets in hand. Dave Warner out for 55. He's 50 coming from 23 balls. Not quite the fastest in Test cricket history. The great in-form batsman of the modern era, Misbah Ul Haq, holds the record in when he got his century in 56 balls against the Aussies. Kev, how about that?
He's got the fastest 50.
He has. I think it was 21. How about that?
He must have hit the ball that day not straight to the fields when he's been doing out here. Correct. Since he's arrived anyway.
Correct. There we are. Okay, talk to you soon.
We'll get a tea time summary from Smoke in a bit over 10 minutes' time.
SEN Summer of Cricket for High and Mighty. The big and tall end of year sale on now. And Ashley and Martin. For a free consultation, call 13GROW.
28 past 3 here on 1116 SEN. Kate Sheehan's in the studio with me getting ready to play for the Magpies. Who'd you barrack for?
Hawthorn.
Oh, how hard's that been to get that black and white one and put it on? Because Hawthorn people are very, you know, they're very straight down the line.
To be honest, I would have put any jumper on. I wouldn't have cared. Yeah, okay. Any opportunity to play.
What do you say to people who saw that game and rated terrifically on television, and we saw the best of the best there at when the Bulldogs took on Melbourne in that game, and that was probably the best 36, 40 women running around playing footy? When we get down and we've now got however many teams we've got, so we've got a lot
eight
more
teams.
Players involved, eight
yep.
teams, a lot more players involved. The standard's going to drop away a bit.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Oh, no, well, it will, because you can't sustain that. But I don't think it'll drop away as dramatically as people think.
Okay.
From what I can tell from the girls down at Collingwood, the skill level and the understanding is really high. So I'm assuming that that's going to be the case across the coast. And plus, the other thing is the girls are now exposed to better facilities, more training.
Yep.
So you can't help but think that the standard will increase.
Are you surprised by the facilities and the resources you've got at your disposal when you go down there?
I'm not surprised because I knew Collingwood had great facilities and I knew that they would throw the kitchen sink at it because that's the sort of club they are. So it hasn't surprised me. I've been really impressed with the professionalism and attention to detail by the club and by the coaching staff. I feel like we're in a really good place. We're highly organised and the communication from the coaches is fantastic. And they really believe in the players.
How are you going to go? I mean, you can't do it professionally because there isn't the money in it at the moment. So it can't be your full-time job.
Yeah.
Hopefully, in however long it takes, I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't think any of us do. It will be able to be a full-time profession. But you've got someone like a Jess Cameron who we spoke to earlier.
Yeah.
One of your teammates.
I heard Jess on the line before.
Now, she's trying to juggle both at the moment because neither is able to be her full-time profession, yet she's clearly a very talented athlete.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, if she was a male, she'd be doing one of the two full-time and making a very good living. How long can you sustain and how long can this group of women sustain not being able to do it as a full-time living?
I think what we're doing at the moment won't last forever. There's a lot of adrenaline involved in what we're doing and that's how it's being sustained. I think in a couple of years' time, we'll see a difference. I don't think everyone will be professional, but I think even some of the marquee girls have been given great opportunities with endorsements and media roles, and it may mean that it is a profession for them at this point in time.
Yeah.
I think with...
Though there will only be a handful of those,
exactly, yeah. But I mean, you see that in tennis. Like, only a couple of the top Australians can make it a profession because they're the ones earning the top dollars, whereas the others, it's a profession, but they're not earning the same amount of money. So maybe 5 to 10 years, we might see it become professional on a full-time basis.
You mentioned tennis. You mentioned you played tennis. How serious did you get with your tennis?
Oh, I was serious with it, but I wasn't much chop. I mean...
Jeez, if that's the case, I could do that with any sport.
No, I mean, look, if you saw me hitting in the street, you'd say, yeah, that girl's a really nice player. But when you then... If I was to step on a court with Dasha, she'd...
Now, she's your housemate?
Yeah, she lives at our place. She'd pull my pants down. I mean, the level between where we look from a visual point of view and then how we execute it, that's the difference. And that level, that professional level is just that much higher. I mean, look, we're watching Jordan Thompson play Nishikori now, and Thompson's like 80 in the world, 79, I think. And the difference is massive. I mean, he's 4-1 down, Thompson, and yet he took out a top 10 player in the world the other night. I mean, it's just a big jump. So, yeah, it's hard.
Now, Desha lives with you in your house. And is the
glamorous... Not at the moment, by the way.
the glamorous lifestyle of the tennis professional on the road, everything it's cracked up to be, or you see the downside when she gets home and she hasn't won and she, you know, I've got to go on the road and I've got to go to Russia and then I've got to go to here and then I've got to go to there and another bloody bag to pack and another passport to find, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think... She's been quite fortunate because she's been winning in the last couple of years. I mean, she had a 9-month layoff with an ACL, which she did in Melbourne and at my place.
Yep.
And that was a difficult time because all of her teammates or training partners were away. So it was quite a lonely trip for her. But now that she's back on tour and she took that big jump in her rankings and, you know, she's sort of the face of tennis these days, she doesn't seem to mind that much. I mean, there was a stage earlier on last year in 2016 where she'd had a big run at the Australian Open or the Australian Summer, and that was a massive adrenaline high for her. And then she played a few tournaments and came home for a couple of days and she was pretty cooked and she wasn't quite ready to go, but she had to go. That's the nature of the job. But once she gets on the road, she's okay. But it would be very tough. I mean, I'm not sure I'm cut out for it.
I think you have to be a certain sort of person to be cut out for it.
Yeah, and a lot of these players, a lot of these top players, they've been doing it since they were 13 or 14. So in reality, they don't know too different. Whereas if you were to start doing it at, you know, early 20s, you're used to being at home. You're used to having that support of your family and your team around you. Whereas when you go on the road as a young player and you're not earning the big dollars, you can't afford to have those people travel with you.
And at 12 years of age, they didn't get told they couldn't continue with their sport.
Exactly right. I think at 12, maybe at 13 or 14, Dash moved from Moscow to France to live permanently in France and train at the
moment. Because of her tennis?
Yeah, because of her tennis. Yeah.
That scares me though.
Yeah, but even Luke, so Luke Saville's there as well, that's Dash's boyfriend.
Yep.
He was travelling the world at 13, 14, and I think at 15 maybe he was world number one junior.
You might be different, but 13 or 14, I didn't know my backside from my elbow, basically.
Neither did I. Correct. I didn't know what sport I was playing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did Hingis win a major at 14?
Yeah, I think it was 14 or 15.
I mean, tennis is just a different beast, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You get down and watch. Will you go down and watch the Australian Open?
Yeah, I'll be there.
You get tickets through Dash, don't you? Yeah, of course.
Well,
or Luke.
Yeah. I'll have to be careful because if she's playing a night match and possibly playing on Rod Laver, and it's a Tuesday or a Thursday, I might be turning up late. I'll be training.
Training?
Yeah. Whoa. Priorities these days. Dash is no longer the priority.
Got it all sorted now.
My own career comes first.
the lot has been made of Moana and what a star she's going to be and already is, I think, and the story that she's got to tell. When you're sitting in the change rooms with the other girls and you're sort of getting ready or you're out in the track and stuff, there must be, all the girls must have those kind of stories to tell about how they got to where, you know, they are in footy?
Yeah, I think a lot of girls have different stories. I've got to know Mo pretty reasonably well over the last sort of 4 to 5 weeks, and she's a really good girl. She's private, but
she can't be private anymore. She's almost the poster girl of the competition.
Yeah, I mean, she's got star factor. And I sort of liken her a little bit to Buddy. She's just this natural talent that doesn't particularly want to be the face of it, but she is because she's that good.
Yep.
And she actually really knows her footy. She's got a really good footy brain. So I've actually tagged her a little bit to learn from her, because if I play in the forward line, she's going to be telling me to get out of the way, and I want to know where she wants me to go.
Well, if she tells you to get out of the way.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the way of Mo. I might get hurt.
No. You're very slightly built.
Thanks, Kevin. That's lovely.
You know what I mean.
Most girls like knowing they're slightly built.
Do you know, you're not a big powerhouse unit.
No.
By any stretch of that. And how do you go with that? There is physicality in the women's game. It'll probably be more in this elite level.
Yeah,
in
the girls.
Some areas,
are,
you won't get, probably it won't be as much, but you'll, when you get hit, you'll get hit.
Yeah, Todd Viney,
collision.
The former Melbourne footballer, was my tennis coach for a while back when I was younger.
Okay.
And he knew I could play footy. And when he found out I was playing, he said to me, "Kate, you better get quick because those girls hit harder than Jack." And we all know Jack Viney is like a dump truck when he hits someone.
I was going to say, he's like a little backhoe hitting you.
Yeah, so I'm not massive, but I'm also not the smallest. One of my teammates, and she's a really good girl, great mate of mine, Alicia Eva, she's pretty slight too. So I think if you're smaller, you either have to have exceptional skills or be really smart and not put yourself in the position to get hurt. So I have to figure out which one that is.
Yes. Yeah, make sure you make a choice. What are your hopes? What do you hope to get out of playing football at this level?
My number one goal right now is to play round one.
Right.
I really, really want to play round one. I've got a little bit of work to do. I had a sort of interrupted start to pre-season, but I'm working my butt off, and I'm hoping that, you know, I can prove to Wayno, the coach, that I'm good to be picked. That's the first goal I've got in my mind at this point.
Were you a surprise pick? Is that you? So you're saying that like you?
No, I wasn't a surprise pick, but I didn't know I'd have a slight niggle with my knee coming into it. So, the footy came about because the AFL called me and said, "Am I interested in playing?"
Yep.
The chief had seen me play when I was younger, and he obviously thought I went all right.
Yeah.
At that stage, I don't think he'd seen too many girls play footy, so maybe he wasn't aware of the rest of the talent out there. But yeah, and so I hadn't even thought about it. Start of 2016, it was not on my radar because I thought I was too old.
Okay.
I didn't think anyone would give
How
me a shot.
How old are you?
40. No. I'm 34. But I look 24. No. You're meant to say that to me, remember?
No, of course. No, yeah, I know that. You got your old man's sense of humour. no doubt about that. So, 34, are you the oldest in
nah.
the... No. Nah?
Which I thought I might be, but I'm really pleased I'm not.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think there's three other girls in our team that are older than me.
Oh, okay.
It's my birthday Monday, so everyone, don't forget to text me.
Oh, okay, well, we'll make sure we put your Twitter handle out or whatever. You're on social media? You jumping on there?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
Are you doing stuff from training and all that sort of stuff, keeping people updated on what you're doing?
Oh, to a certain extent, not really.
You got secrets?
No. we're not really allowed our phones at training. So, yeah. We are allowed our phones at training, but my priority is not social media when I'm at training.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Well, listen, good luck for the start of the season. It's going to be here in just a couple of weeks' time. Hope you do get that first game.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. Carlton. Get down to the Glasshouse or Olympic Park and watch us play Carlton on the 3rd of February. It'll be huge, and it's free, by the way, so you don't have to worry about buying tickets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. Good luck with the pre-season, and thanks for coming in. Really
thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Say good day to your dad for me.
I will.
Kate Sheehan joining us.